show you don't want to miss. The Big E Sports Show with Elissa Walker-Campbell. Stay tuned as Elissa goes up close and personal with some of the biggest names in the world of sports. From Dallas Cowboys Hall of Fame quarterback Roger Staubach to legendary broadcaster Pat Summerall. Think big. Think big. It's all happening right here on the Big E Sports Show.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, the big, big weekend is finally here. We are getting you set and ready for Super Bowl 45 with one of our favorite Dallas Cowboys that knows exactly what it takes to get to the NFL's marquee game and biggest stage. We are looking so forward to our conversation with Captain Crash himself, the great Cliff Harris. How are you, Cliff? I hope you're somewhere warm today.
Yes, Elissa, I'm in a... my office this morning. We've got the heat up, and we've actually got the heat down a little bit, trying to conserve energy for the state of Texas here, and certainly warmer than outside today.
I was going to say, Cliff, you know, it has been such a cold, but it really has been an incredible week, despite the massive ice storm that has hit, you know, North Texas. Let me ask you this. You are on the committee, the Super Bowl committee. What has impressed you the most as, you know, all the media, everybody that's been coming into town and getting prepared for the big game?
The thing that's been most impressive to me has been the management of the Super Bowl committee head, and that's Bill Lively. He's done such an incredible job. We've been working on the Super Bowl committee. He's been on it 3 years. I've been on it 2 years. And of all the things that we've done, I mean, we've raised over $30 million to support all the different functions that go on with the Super Bowl. I mean, the security, the transportation, all the different events that have taken place in this last year to bring awareness of this North Texas area, and it's been really phenomenal, the job he does. And what a shame it is that we've got cold weather. Most of the events are still going on. There's one in Fort Worth tonight at Billy Bob's, and I'm going to try to make that over there, but I'm just very impressed with the way that and the professionalism of this NFL committee. You know, it's chaired by Roger Staubach and Troy Aikman.
I'm glad you bring that up because, you know, the first ever Super Bowl in North Texas, it has generated so much excitement. And Roger Staubach, I mean, he's been the driving force, the number 12. The execution continues. You really have to tip your hat to Roger because he has done an amazing job in getting all the right people in the right places.
Right. And, we're on that. I'm on that committee with, there were 50 mayors, amazingly, in this Dallas-Fort Worth area that you wouldn't realize how many little cities there are here. They're all involved and all a part of this organization, and probably about 25 former NFL players, Emmitt Smith and Tony Dorsett and Chad Hennings, and I could go down the list, and Drew Pearson, and Daryl Johnson done such a great job with Slant 45, and they're just a bunch of guys that we've gotten to know each other better over these years of all the meetings that we've had and all the things that we've been participating in.
I was going to say, Cliff, it's probably a homecoming of sort. I mean, you, of course, played in 5 Super Bowls, but how neat is it to, you know, catch up with some of your former teammates and relive so many of those incredible memories?
Well, I mean, some of the memories are ones that you want to forget, the ones we lost, but I can tell you, a person that plays NFL and plays the defense, they don't remember very much about the winnings or the great plays they made. They only remember the plays that they messed up on and the losing plays, because that's the way a defensive mind operates, because you're always looking for a way to improve yourself as a defensive player.
Well, Cliff, I thought you were going to have a catalog in your mind, you know, detailing all the shining moments. You're not supposed to think of those ones that you want to have the mulligan and the do-over.
I just think that's the way we're wired here. I don't know that, of course, there are many great moments I had. I was just kidding about, there are many great moments that come to my mind, especially during this week, and think about all the, you know, the victories and some of these thoughts that I have or moments that you wouldn't think that would be etched in my mind the way they are. But, you know, it's not necessarily plays, but just kind of things that went on during those Super Bowl, those times at the Super Bowl, you know.
Is it bittersweet to have the Pittsburgh Steelers? You know, obviously they've had such another incredible year, but bittersweet, you know, the longstanding rivalry between the Cowboys that goes back to the 70s. These were a couple of teams that really got after each other.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was a – I mean, and that's the beauty of the Super Bowl. I mean, and these championship games, is you feel the intensity. You feel the rivalry. And we certainly had a very bitter rival with Pittsburgh, and they'd beaten us in the Super Bowl, two Super Bowls that we played against them. Of course, Troy Aikman's year, they beat Pittsburgh. But, you know, it is bittersweet for me to see them in Dallas. I'm, you know, I can't be a fan of the Steelers. I love the way they play, though. I mean, I think that they're a real tough-minded team, a singularly focused team, with a great defense and a tough quarterback. You know, but I've got to be, because I'm an NFC guy, hope pulling for the Packers and Aaron Rodgers. And both teams are a basic, fundamental, throwback teams, and I like that. I mean, I'm a throwback guy myself, so I like that. It's going to be a great fist fight out there, and the better man is going to come up, is going to end up standing.
North Texas is the place you want to be as we get you ready for Super Bowl 45. The excitement is truly in the air, and we are so thrilled to have along with us this weekend on the Big East Sports Show, Cliff Harris, Dallas Cowboy great. Of course, played from 70 to 79. 2004, he was inducted into the Cowboys Ring of Honor, selected for the Pro Bowl, count them, 6 times. He was named All-Pro 4 times. And just what an incredible ride for you in a career, played in a number of 5 Super Bowls. But we got to reflect on Super Bowl 10, because you were the defensive MVP, right?
Yeah, there was a vote, and I ended up having, it was really a good deal for me, because I ended up driving a Corvette for a year free from a dealership, Chevrolet dealership here in Dallas. I had a good game. It's you know, no, not many would remember the and it was a Dallas MVP thing. It was not just overall, obviously, overall Super Bowl MVP, but it was a good, it was fun, and that was a great game. It was one of those games that was one of those fights, those battles, those intense games that were right down to the wire, and Pittsburgh did edge us out that game, it's a shame that we didn't win one of those, either 10 or 13. I think that were really turning points and significant games in the NFL history of that decade.
You know, I want to talk a little bit about, as far as, you know, the quarterback matchup. It's been highlighted so much and documented, Aaron Rodgers and Ben Roethlisberger. But what about one of the top 10 quarterback rivalries of all time between Terry Bradshaw and Roger Staubach?
They were both intense players and both physical quarterbacks.
But Staubach was more of the clean-cut Navy grad, where, you know, Bradshaw was kind of brash from Louisiana Tech.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that, I mean, obviously over that period of time, both of them have kept their reputations certainly better than Roethlisberger.
Right.
I mean, so, you know, it was not like that Bradshaw was, they were different guys. He was, you know, Terry was a single guy during that time, and Roger, during that whole era, was married and Captain America, and they did have contrasting lifestyles. But still similar features. Both tough-minded and tough, and both physical quarterbacks that could stand in there, like today's quarterbacks, like you're seeing up here with Roethlisberger. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers has been, that's the only question in this game, I think, or one of the questions, is Aaron can stay healthy and play through the toughness part of the game, because I think that's a question. I think he was banged up in one of the last games, and he's got to play well, the best game he'll ever play to win.
Cliff, let's talk about defense and the guy from the Steelers, Troy Polamalu, of course, the defensive player in the year, famous for his hair, but I want to get your thoughts and your impressions of him. I mean, he's small, but so tough, and he certainly is very aggressive out there and delivers a blow when he gets to the runner.
Yeah, I really like the way that Polamalu plays. I like his style. He has a lot of freedom. You know, Coach Landry, we had a very regimented system, and I've kind of forced the issue on Coach Landry to give me freedom, and I was coming up to the line of scrimmage and making tackles and moving around and hitting, being in places where the design of the defense told me that I was supposed to be somewhere else. And Polamalu is the extreme of that, and it really says one thing about the coaching, the coaches, the defensive back coach there, is that you know, he's got a lot of confidence in Polamalu, and he's also got a lot of confidence in himself to allow a guy to have that much freedom. Most coaches in that situation are insecure, and they want to put you in a box and put you in a certain position. And I had Gene Stallings, and Gene didn't want me to be completely free like Polamalu, but he gave me some latitude and where I could do similar things. But the coach, I think, should be given a lot of credit for allowing Polamalu to do that.
When you watch him, I mean, he's such a great anticipator. He's got great instincts.
Oh, yeah, he definitely does. And that's the thing about Polamalu. I mean, that he's got really good instincts, and that's what allows him to be in the right place more times than not. And that's the critical element of, you know, what allows him to give them that freedom. Because if he'd been making mistakes, the coach would not allow that freedom in the next game. You know, they'd take him out of that and say, no, you've got to be in this box. But because you make the right decision, decisions that you can continue to expand on your creativity during these games, that's really fun to watch the defensive players.
I agree, and Troy Polamalu certainly has foiled some of the best offenses this year all season long, but finishing second by only 2 votes for the defensive player of the year, Clay Matthews. You just have to have a sincere appreciation for his game, and he is a lot of fun to watch, and he too has got that hair thing going on.
Yeah, they both.
What's going on with that, Cliff? I like that clean cut look.
I didn't have that advantage. I couldn't. My hair would not grow that long. But
Coach Landry would never allow that, would he?
No, well, you know, yeah, there were guys during that was during a different era when there was a lot of where there were longer haired guys. I mean, you look back at those pictures. There's mustaches and long hair, and so I can't criticize them at all because I had a pretty good mustache myself. But man, what a player he is as a mobile. Outside, that's the difference, I think, in today's football is the size and speed and strength of these defensive end / outside linebackers that they're playing in this 3-4 defense. And it's just, they are really great athletes, fast and big and strong. That's where you're seeing the most difference, I think, in our era, I mean my era, and today's players.
The game certainly has evolved, and I wanted to ask you, obviously, playing, as I had said earlier, in a total of 5 Super Bowls. What was, you know, preparations leading up to the Super Bowls? What was it like back in the 70s? Obviously, you know, talking about it evolving, the media certainly has. I mean, it wasn't that crazy, was it, back then?
Well, we did have media days back then, too.
But not marriage proposals and all the crazy things that go on.
Oh, my gosh, it just was wild. There was, you know, it was really a fun day. I mean, I think the thing that happens is that over the years, the players have begun to recognize and look forward to this media day and take it as a fun day. And back when we were first playing in the first Super Bowls that were played, we didn't really know quite what to expect. We had our guard up from a media standpoint. There weren't as many, but I think that it became looser and looser during the years. I mean, if you can imagine that we played in Super Bowl 5. Oh, my gosh, I hate to even say that. All the way up to Super Bowl 13. Obviously, Media Day had changed, and today it's wild. Those guys have a good time, and it's a break for them. You know, it's a real break for them, I think.
Glad you're listening to us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show as we get you ready for Super Bowl 45. On the line is Cliff Harris, of course, Dallas Cowboy great. We do want to direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com, and you can email us at info@eradiosports.com. And incidentally, Cliff, you know, last week joining us on our program was the legendary NFL coach Dan Reeves, and we were kind of talking about, you know, what are the key components to getting your team focused, dialed in, and getting you ready? How did you structure your day and time as you were trying to, you know, get ready for these Super Bowls, and how in the world did you enjoy the experience, or did you?
Well, I can tell you that, you know, your day really is structured by the schedule of the defined by the coaches. You know, they control this period of time so that the free time that you have is the free time that they design. It's not a time that you can choose. And it's really a time, at least it was for me, a time of business. I think there's a time for business and a time for play. That was my attitude about it. And we were down there for one purpose, and to win a Super Bowl. So going out and partying and staying out was not something that was on my agenda. Charlie Waters and I did one time go out into the one evening to the French Quarter when we were playing the Broncos in that Super Bowl. And it was complete bedlam, and it was like there was a riot going on between orange and blue painted people down in Bourbon Street, and we were just walking around as two guys, you know, in that crowd, you know, not being noticed as Dallas Cowboy football players. So we got out of there in a hurry.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, we had a Mai Tai or one of the whatever they have down there, the Hurricanes, and then got out of there, though.
Well, there's been a lot of talk about the fact, you know, the Steelers, perhaps they're the slight underdog, but they obviously have more of the experience that they've already won a Super Bowl, you know, coming into all of this. How much did that help you as you went along? And as I had said earlier, you know, played in a total of 5 Super Bowls, because each time, did it get easier as you went along?
Yes, and if you'll notice that our record during our era, what we've done, we'd lose a Super Bowl the next year, we'd come back and win it. We'd lose a Super Bowl the next year, come back and win it. The only thing that prohibited that that to happen again for me for a third time was I retired from football. But definitely, it has a definite edge and a mentality of what was a unique happening last year with the Saints after all those years of never making the playoffs or getting close to a Super Bowl and then getting in and winning it was a unique instance. But typically, there is a certain mentality that you develop and understand going into a Super Bowl is that, you know, one of the things that you have to control your emotions very much in the very first part of the game because of the buildup, and you take 2 weeks for the game, you know, and no other game during the year would you have all that time to really prepare 2 weeks for a game. And then the other compounding factor on that is that every day you're talking to the press about it. So you're, you know, different than during the year. There may be a couple of times during the week you talk to somebody about the press, upcoming game if it's a big game, but certainly not every day and being barraged and every question you can imagine. And so there is a distraction element that comes into play with if you haven't been there before. So,
but you'd rather have 2 weeks off as opposed to having 30 days off in college football before you play in the national championship game. Would you agree?
Oh, my gosh. What that would be. I don't know how those guys – the only way they can do that is because they're young. Because I don't know that, you know, 30 – I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you can maintain. I mean, you develop momentum and prepare for the, you know, timing and everything, try to stay healthy. And, I mean, it's I just don't know how they do it.
We are getting ready to wrap up our exclusive interview with Cliff Harris, of course, Dallas Cowboy great. He is getting us ready for Super Bowl 45. Been looking forward to this interview for quite some time. And one of the stories I'd love for you to share with all of our listeners, we've talked about this in the past, is when it did come time for you to retire, Coach Landry did not want you to step away from the game. Can you kind of just take us through? And he actually invited you to his house, and his wife opened the door and greeted you, right?
Landry opened the door for me, and
she called him Tommy, right?
And Tommy's downstairs in his den, and he lived in a really great house in Dallas here, and lived on kind of a bluff that overlooked a creek, and his house was a tiered house, and he was sitting up in amongst the trees, and I went into his office, and Coach Landry said, "Cliff, I'm not trying to put any pressure on you, but I'd like for you to." I would like you to play this next year. I said, "Well, Coach, I know that you're not trying to put any pressure on me. Here I am in your office, in your den, in your house." I said, "That you don't need to try to put any. There's enough pressure on me just being here, you know." And I said, "I can't do it, Coach. You know, I'd had an injury with my neck, and I had an opportunity in business, and it was thinking, and I knew it was time to go." And I said, "I'm not going to be able to do it. I'm going to retire." He said, "Well, just tell me one thing. Will you stay in shape? And if I need you, because Charlie Waters had hurt his knee, and he said, I don't know if Charlie's going to be able to make it and play this year." And I said, "Yes, sir, I'll stay in shape, and you can count on me." So I stayed in shape. I was ready to come back. And ironically, during that year, the Atlanta game that Danny White played in and the Cowboys won, they had injured some defensive backs, and needed one. And they ended up, Gene Stallings called me and said, "Cliff, can you come back?" And I said, "Yeah, this week." And I said, "Yes, I can." And they ended up, they from some technicality of the way that I retired, I didn't make it back. But I almost came back and came into play. And wouldn't that have been great to sit out all year and play in the playoffs and then go to a Super Bowl?
And, of course, the next chapter in your life, you went off and have been very successful in the oil and gas industry. As we get ready to wrap up our interview, I know that you have a very special golf tournament that's going to be coming up in the month of June. Quickly tell our listeners a little bit about this.
Yes. I'm on the board of the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation, JDRF, and my father had diabetes. And we have a golf tournament the Monday before the 4th of July. We're having it at Glen Eagles. You can go to the Dallas or JDRFDallas.com website, and there will be information on it. It's going to be a great tournament. It's a great course. A lot of my former players, the guys that played with me and guys that didn't play. Mike Madonna played last year with us, and we have and Chad Hennings and Charlie Waters and Walt Garrison, Leroy Jordan, and all the guys that they'll remember from my era, and the new players as well are out there, and it's a great course, and it benefits a very worthy cause.
Well, we will definitely be catching up with you this spring to help you promote this, and I know that you were saying you hope the Packers prevail, but who do you think ultimately will win?
Well,
come on, Cliff.
I know, and it's going to be, I've watched this, and I think it's going to be a quarterback battle. I really do. Both defenses are so tough, and that Ben Roethlisberger has something that is a toughness about him that I think that I'm gonna have to go with the edge of the though I'm pulling for Green Bay, I'm gonna have to go with the toughness and the edge on the Steelers, I think.
And perhaps that experience will play and be beneficial to them as well. Cliff, always a pleasure. Stay warm, and congratulations, and thanks for all that you've done here in North Texas, and we will catch up with you again real soon.
Okay, thank you, Alyssa.
We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. Stay close.